Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gaber.io, and I'm here today with Brendan Falk, the CEO of Fig. Good afternoon, Brendan. How you doing?
Good. Good to be here, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for joining us today and another beautiful day in the Bay Area, as you well know, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little foggy in San Francisco, but still not too bad.
A little bit. Yeah. And it's sexy. We got a little bit of the brown sky here in Foster City, just so you know.
Yeah. I can definitely sense it's not just normal fog. There's something else going on with the fires. Yeah.
Yeah. You can see it. We can see it through the sun. You can see it's like got that brown
hazy
haze over on it. Yeah. So to start with, can you tell us about your previous work history, you know, what you've done in the past?
Yeah. So my previous work history is I'm pretty young. I'm 23. And so I grew up in Australia, went to college at Harvard, and in my senior fall. So I guess when I was 22, we got accepted into YC. And when I say we, that's my co-founder, who was my roommate at Harvard. So basically after graduating, we went straight into Y Combinator, and that's my work history, is working on Fig. I guess I did internships, I did some finance, and I did an internship at Brex, which is a corporate card for startups, which is we're sort of now doing very, very well. And basically, yeah, small work history. Fig has been the longest I've worked with any company ever. And yeah.
Interesting. So basically it's Australia to Boston to San Francisco, right?
Yep, that's it.
And where in Australia did you grow up?
I grew up in Sydney, and then not many people know the capital, but I moved to the capital, Canberra, when I was 14. So for most of my high school experience.
And it's interesting. I've been to Sydney and San Francisco are a lot alike. Just they have the opposite weather seasons, right?
Yeah. The seasons are sweet, but they're so similar. I love California. It's as close to Australia as you can really get. The weather is great and nice and temperate. It's not too hot. Like Sydney is not super hot in the summers, but it's also like very nice winters. So I love it here. It's also physically much closer to Australia than Boston was, like doing two flights, doing 24 hours versus 16 hours of travel. I know both sound pretty long, but it is much easier for me.
Well, we get a little bit off topic, but that's okay.
I remember
flying into Sydney, and I think I left at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock from San Francisco, and you land, you know, it was on Saturday night. I landed at like 8 a.m. Monday morning. So
yeah,
I can sleep on a plane. So it was like nothing.
Yeah. It is so weird. And then Sunday just disappears. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But tough coming back. You get that day on when you come back.
Yeah.
That's a little bit longer. But yeah, that's one of the few places I flew into that there was no jet lag. I just lost a day.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Going west is always much easier.
Yeah.
Going east is terrible. That's the worst jet lag ever. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. So tell us about Fig. I mean, what is it that you do? What do you provide? Who's your target audience? All those things.
Yeah. So Fig is a developer tool. We make the terminal more accessible and more discoverable to beginners, and then just far more efficient and productive for advanced engineers. How do we come up with the idea? I'll quickly sort of skim over the story, but as I said, we got into Y Combinator in our senior fall, and with this deferral program where you get in to YC, but you finish school and then you start straight after graduating. So we knew for about 8 months that we were going into Y Combinator, and we literally, the day after we got in, the partner who accepted us said, "Love you guys. Your idea could use some work. Why don't you come up with something new? You've got 8 months before you start anyway." So we went through this cycle of pivoting, these hard pivots. We'd come up with a new idea, we'd launch it, wouldn't work out particularly well. We'd reassess, come up with a new idea. And each time we would go back to our terminal and we would run the same boilerplate setup code, set up my Postgres server locally, deploy this to Heroku, spin up a new web app, set up an Express server, like running all of this crud boilerplate code. And what would be weird is we'd follow the same articles and follow the same steps, but sometimes things just wouldn't work. Like we'd be missing environment variables, and it doesn't say that in the articles. We'd be missing we weren't in the wrong directory. And what we sort of realized by about the third or fourth pivot was, wait a minute, the terminal is actually a big problem. We're spending all of our time trying to solve problems that we don't have, but my co-founder and I are both self-taught engineers. And we were like, why are we using this tool that has barely changed since the late 70s? And it's not just us using this tool. Every single developer, tens of millions of developers are using this tool almost every day in their developer workflow. And it hasn't changed since the 70s. And in contrast, VS Code came out 5 years ago. and it is used by, you know, maybe 10 to 20% of the development population. That seems like it's been around forever. The terminal's been around forever, is used by everyone and has not changed. Like it's barely changed. So we were just like, okay, this is a super interesting space. How can we make the terminal easier for people learning to code? And then how can we make it just so much better and more productive for the power users?
Yeah, very cool. And it's interesting. Developers make really nice user interfaces for the rest of the world, but almost every developer I know uses the command line.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm the same. I just like, because that's what I learned on. And it's just, I think it's muscle memory with my fingers.
Yeah. And some interesting insights we have there. We tell a lot of developers that we're adding this UI layer to the terminal. And as you just said, you learned on the terminal, like it was just natural to you. And so the idea of a GUI in the terminal is so foreign to you. And you're just thinking, I would never touch that. And I think what we've learned is people actually don't dislike GUIs. They dislike slowness, or put in a more positive tone, people want speed. And the terminal is a text-based interface. If you know exactly what you're doing, you are super, super fast. And so we're not replacing that speed. We keep you as fast as possible, but we are adding this GUI or this UI layer to it, and it's all keyboard driven. So yeah, that's the approach we've taken, is how can we keep the power users productive? It's just extra information on top of your usual workflow.
But out of curiosity, because you're a younger developer, right? Because I literally worked on one of the very first versions of DOS.
Cool.
IBM
Super
DOS.
Super cool. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and and I've always wondered, as the newer generations come along, do they adapt the UI? Because there are some really good UIs out there, or do they still do command line? And so it sounds like you still do command line at 23 years old, right?
So it broke up a little bit there, but I feel like I got the general gist of it. How are the newer generations learning the terminal, or are they even learning at all? Is that the general gist?
Basically, yes.
So this was one of the big things that we found, is newer generations are learning to code in these contained, isolated environments, mostly in the cloud these days. Cloud9, Replit, even VS Code, you can SSH into these remote servers, or these online sort of REPLs. It's the idea is, hey, when I'm learning Python, I want to learn Python. I don't want to have to learn Git. I don't want to have to learn Bash. I don't want to have to learn CD and LS. Like, I just want to learn Python, and then I'm slowly going to expand out. So all of the educational tooling has become so much better at isolating and containing environments. But the problem is, you go to your job at a big or a small tech company, and you still have to use the terminal. And our bet is that's not going away anytime soon. Like, your job is still going to be very, very reliant on the terminal. What's happened is you're no longer learning the terminal when you're learning to code. You're learning the shell, I guess, when you're learning to code. You are just learning the code itself. And so when you join the workforce, you are really stuck. Like, you are very, very behind, and you're forced to play catch up. And so that's where a lot of our developers have actually been coding for 5 or 6 years, and they're super proficient in a specific language, but far less so when it comes to Bash or the shell, because it's been abstracted away for their entire coding career.
Yeah. So, and it's interesting, if you think about your product in particular, you know, there's two major operating systems really, right? Windows and Unix. Yep. Linux. And then versions of Unix, I can think of 5 or 6 off the top of my head, right? So do you have to write specific code for each one of those?
So in the early days of Fig, we adopt this, like, let's push prototypes, let's test that we actually have product market fit here and make sure that this is actually a problem that people are facing. So in the early days, we just did whatever we could, whatever resources we needed to get this working. So a lot of that was Mac OS level integrations. But if you think about the way Fig works, we integrated the operating system level, we integrated the terminal level, we integrated the shell level, and then we integrated the CLI level. So these really hard technical problems. And so what we try and do to make it as cross-platform or cross-operating system as possible is, the lower down the stack we go, if we can do as much code at the shell or the CLI level as possible, then those go cross-platform. The Bash I use on my Mac is the same as the Bash you use on Arch Linux, provided it's the same version. So if we can do as much of our integration at the Bash level or Z shell or Fish level, and we actually do it at there's a step that I missed in there called the pseudo terminal, like the TTY level, which is not the terminal application, but the actual terminal emulator, which is rendering the text. So we do our integration at that level, which means that we hit all of the shell integrations and all of the terminal integrations in one go, which means we can actually go cross-platform. There's always going to be integrations at the operating system level, but we try it's minimized now.
Yeah, makes sense. And then what language have you written your product in?
It is a mix of just about everything. So we have on one side, as I said, the integration at the operating system level, that's macOS stuff. So Swift, C, C++. And I think we're going to transition some of our stuff to Rust as well. And just for all of the reasons that everyone has been proselytizing for the past few years, like it's just a safer language and it's a nice language and the community is fantastic. And then on the apps themselves, this is another way we go across platform. So the little GUI that's popping up is actually just a web-based application. So we have a lightweight browser. Rather than using Electron, we use a WK Web View and Safari, which is similar to Safari. So all of our apps are just built using React, which is great. And we focus on TypeScript. And so that means when we go cross-platform, we're not going to have to rewrite the apps. We're not going to have to rewrite a lot of the C, C++ stuff. It's really only the Swift stuff that is operating. Yeah.
Very cool. And it's interesting for what you do, you have a developer community. I'm assuming they're all over the world. How do you
Everywhere, get yeah. all that? So that is a great question. I feel like we have a good community. I'm really, really happy with it. I think the terminal is a traditionally very isolated environment because it's so secure. When I'm typing something, it's not like I can have a friend drop in and say, like, hey, you should type this instead. It's like I'm the one failing and I'm the one having to Google search how to fix it. And there's no place to go to actually work out these workflows. They're just spread throughout the internet. And so what's been cool about this community is every developer in the world has to use the terminal at some point. And the community has evolved into this terminal hacks and terminal help community. So I have a problem with something to do with Bash. It's not even a fig related problem whatsoever. It's, hey, you know, how do I loop over this list efficiently? It's people in the community just like Bash and like the terminal, like the shell. And so it has evolved through that. And as you said, they're all people from all over the world face the same problems because it's universal language of coding. And yeah, it doesn't matter where you are. So we just launch on things like Hacker News and Product Hunt. And we really push, join our Discord community. It's not like the other Discord communities where you're just one person amongst 10,000. We really know the people there. We actually make it harder to sort of get into the community. We ask you a bunch of questions before you join and sort of tag people's profiles. So it feels, by putting in a lot of effort to join the community, it's actually, it feels like people are close. It feels more like a team as opposed to just a public forum where, you know, anyone can appear and disappear at any time.
And what about like foreign languages and stuff like that? I mean, I've never programmed in a foreign language, but I have to believe it that exists, right?
I've never programmed in a foreign language either. So we do have a lot of Europeans. I think some of our investors are based in Europe as well, and they retweet our stuff. And people naturally, if you're in Europe, you're gonna have more followers in Europe. And so, like a lot of the communities, let's say Laravel, for instance, PHP Artisan is one of the completions that we offer really good support for. And a lot of that community seems to be really focused in Europe. And so a lot of the PHP community in the Fig community is European. And yeah, when people join, we have an intros channel. This is what I was saying about it's hard to join. So we say, like, when you introduce yourself, it's not just like a, hey, I'm Brendan, I'm from Australia. It's, I'm Brendan, I'm from Australia. I program in these languages. I'm excited about Fig because of this. And we always react with the different flags of the countries that people are from. And it's all over. Like we had Algeria yesterday, Israel, Australia. Like it's so interesting. And people see it as well. They go, oh, cool. Where in Australia are you from? Like, oh, I live in like this small town in Germany. Like, oh, my cousin lives there. And so these things sort of naturally evolve. Although we don't have the clicks within the community for the nationalities, but it is just a part of it for sure.
Interesting. And then, where do you see this going? Because this, you said there's millions and millions of developers out there that use CLI every day. So where do you see the future of Fig?
So right now we're focused on individuals. We want to make the experience of Fig unbelievable. I'm a first-time developer. I'm a developer. I see Fig. I download it. Setup is great. It's just a natural add-on to my existing workflow. So we want to get to that point. And I think we're really, really close to that point. And so now we have two paths that we're following in unison. One is, well, we have a wait list. Let's start ramping up the number of people who we're taking off our wait list weekly because we finally have the support, the team to support that. And we have the app is working and there aren't too many bugs we need to fix. And then the second fork is teams. So if we have, let's snap our fingers, we have hundreds of thousands of people using Fig daily. And imagine if everyone on your team is using Fig daily, what other things can Fig's platform enable that couldn't have been enabled before? So looking at things like, I have an internal CLI at my company, and maybe the person who built the CLI knows exactly how it works, but the people who use it a couple of times a week, it's scary and intimidating and they don't use it at all and they end up bugging their boss. So can we add collaboration on top of internal CLIs and internal scripts? What about the, hey, how do I do this in Slack and someone drops a code snippet in a specific, like, how do I deploy this thing? How do I do this Git function? And that just exists in sort of Slack or Discord or whatever your internal community is. And so can those workflows that are just thrown out into the ether actually be centralized across a team? And can my small front end team have different workflows to my back end team, which has different workflows to the company as a whole that are all important? And so how can we make sharing that knowledge really easy? And Fig's interface just provides a natural way to share this sorts of stuff. So those are just two of the things we're thinking about. But the cool thing is Fig is really tightly integrated to your local system in a way that not many other apps actually are. Mm-hmm. So we can do things like sharing dev environments, deploying things. There's just infinite stuff that we could go into because the terminal is the glue for pretty much everything in the developer workflow.
Yeah, very cool. So it's kind of like, I think it's kind of like you look at it being like when I get a new Windows computer, the first thing I do is load down Chrome.
Yeah.
You think of it that way. It's like, as soon as the developer gets a computer, the first thing he's going to do is load down Fig, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the way we're thinking about it. And so the way to get there is we have to make sure that the individual experience is good enough that is the priority. And that it is just an obvious thing. I'm not doing this because my boss is telling me to do it. I'm doing it because it makes me a better developer and a faster engineer.
Yeah, very cool. It's fascinating to talk to you. You're such a young age to come up with this idea. That's great. I wish you well. I know lots of developers, so maybe we can collaborate here. I get you some beta customers.
Yeah, we totally love to do that. I, in fact, can set up a code for anyone listening. I'll set it up as, I can even have your name underscore last name. So we can do fig.io/invites and then *code=Mark_Allen. I can give that to you and you can share it and set you up with a few hundred invites if you want to share it out. We're, as we said, starting to really ramp up the number of people we're taking off the waitlist here. So if it's helpful, like that's the goal here. Let's make developers' lives easier, starting with the terminal.
Sounds good. And I deal with a lot of developers on a regular basis. That sounds good. All right. Well, cool. Thank you, Brendan. It's been great talking to you, and have a great rest of your day.
Cool. You too. Thank you, Mark.